I've never seen a woman hornier than when she feels completely safe. Like if you're a dude listening to this and you're like, you want a freak, like go out of your way to make your woman feel safe. If she's not walking on the inside of the street and you're walking on the outside, just in case the car skips the fucking curb and kills someone, like you're not getting good pussy. Like it's just not going to happen. Like you have to carry the fucking groceries because you want to, not because you're trying to get laid. Like if you need to feel that, like if someone on the fucking subway pulls a knife, I'm going to jump on top of her. Right. Like that is how you get to, but you have to want it. And so for me, you know, I can do all the fucking whatever slapping, face cum, gag ball bullshit with any.
Girl, stop talking. All the shit that people are thinking but not saying. I'm not even like drunk. I've just been like drinking. Does my podcast offend you? Men, if you're listening, I apologize in advance. Women, hey bitches, are you ready? Are you still talking? Girl, stop talking. Okay, happy fucking Monday, bitches. We are here in the Girl Stop Talking studio. If you're watching this episode, you can see that we have a guest today. I'm here today talking and chatting with Dustin Ripka. Did you say your last name right?
You did.
Okay, fuck. I always have like name anxiety it comes out and then I'm like, I think I totally killed it.
Dustin Roomba. You could explain that one later. Yeah.
It just rolls off my tongue. Like, oh, wait, sorry. That's funny. No, I told him that my iRobot vacuum is named Dustin and he didn't think it was very funny, but I'm fucking leaving.
I'm out of here.
Okay, Dustin. Dustin is here with Sex Party with Dustin Ripka. He talks all crazy things, wild, and sex. It is. I see your clips, okay? The clips be wildin'. And I'm sure some of that is like pulling the best pieces, but like I told you before we started, I am not going to do a full-blown intro, so I'm going to hand you the mic and let you tell the people who you are and how you got into this podcast world.
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, I mean, you're making everyone's Monday so much better by having a show that comes out on Monday. It's like, I fucking hate Mondays.
Thank you.
I really hate Mondays. But if there was something that I could look forward to besides going back to sleep, I would be all about it because Mondays have always been notoriously hard for me. Hey, everyone. My name is Dustin Ripka. I'm an alcoholic. I have a podcast called Sex Party Dustin Ripka. You just heard Tatum say that. And the show, the elevator pitch, right, to keep it punchy and short and fun, the elevator pitch for the show is really, you know, it's a tightrope walk between total chaos and total value. So every episode, you should be able to tune in and be like, what the fuck? I didn't know that would fit in there. And also be like, oh, okay, that's how you make someone squirt. I didn't know that that was going through most people's minds when they were dating or whatever. So it's a sex and relationship show. We do get really, really crazy. But at the same time, you know, if you're not having a laugh, a gasp, and also learning something, then I'm failing as a host. We just started season 3. It's absolutely insane. And it's great. And it's you know, I encourage everybody to, once you're done here with this episode, come check me out, come subscribe, drop me a silly fucking DM. Like, I'm open and ready to fucking party. So I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, I know it's been a long time coming. I feel like we've talked about this for a while. Then we had the total epic fail of of last week.
Well,
where I literally dropped the ball. But we're back and we finally got you on. If you guys have been following for a little while, you know that I've been on his show a couple of times now, which has always been super fun. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to return the favor. So let's get into it. The first little segment that I like to do with my guests is I always talk about how we met. Because there's usually like a wild and crazy story. I think this one's pretty simple. You just slid into my DMs.
Yeah. No, I mean, I did slide into your DMs, but it wasn't a horny thing. It was like, hey, do you want to be on Sex Party? And you're like, what the fuck? No. Yeah.
You're like, wait, what kind of sex party?
Yeah, no, I saw your, well, first of all, I'm like super particular about who I have on the show. It's just a fucking quirk I have. I'm sure you have it too. And yeah. Which
something you learn over time, though.
I was kind of a fucking snob from the beginning, but I found your content on Instagram, as most people do. Well, either that or TikTok, but I found you on Instagram and I was like, okay, this is perfect because she's smart, she's fun, she's wild, she's in the same like sex and dating sort of thing. Yeah. She seems like, you know, really comfortable with herself. And so I have to get her on the show. What a perfect match. And it was because that was the famous or infamous, however you want to think of it, episode where we set up a scenario where you would be having sex with your partner and also like a sex doll. Which is one of my favorite conversations. When I do the greatest, the best of or whatever, which is coming soon, that will be in there. One of my favorite segments. So, yeah.
That's so nice. You're really gassing me up. That's like, it's so sweet of you.
I'm just being honest. Yeah. No, I'm going to continue this because I've said this to people in the real world, not just in podcast land, that I'm just a big fan of you and what you do. And I think like if you keep pushing, really good things are going to happen because I just think that you have this thing about you, this, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, this vibe, this energy that's like, you know, people want to be around it, but you're also not scared to go there. And like, I'm always like a troublemaker. And so I can like kind of get into trouble with you and like, we're both like laughing our asses off and it's like fun. And like, that's really rare. So I think you sharing that with the world, not to be corny, but like you sharing that through a podcast, I think that does inject a lot of relief and fun and like laughter and whatever into people's stuff. So, and I've always felt that way. I mean, so that's
so nice.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's so nice. I really appreciate that a lot. I mean, I think like it's always those little moments for me when like something like that, or like when you did find me to be like, hey, let's collab or whatever, because I'm pretty sure when we connected, I wasn't actually producing any episodes of the show. And so it's like always those little moments that just have hit at the right time where it does kind of like give me that momentum back to be like, okay, like this is something that could really go somewhere. And I mean, that's an amazing compliment. I really appreciate that.
Nice. I mean, totally. And then you dressed up like a fucking elf for the Christmas episode, which is like the greatest thing ever. That'll probably wind up in the greatest hits too. I mean, how cool is that? You know, I mean, you did last week, you did totally ditch me, but you guys, I ran through Chicago traffic like exactly like Tom Cruise. I almost fell in a manhole and you know, and then I get home and I'm changed, I'm ready to record, and she's like, oh no. But we're letting, because she's so talented and cool.
Oh my God.
You know, we're letting it go.
No excuses. I just want to clarify, okay? I did not ditch you. I did say, give me 10 minutes, I'll get my shit together. But
yeah, but that was like desperate.
No, it was. And low-key, I was kind of hoping you'd just be like, let's reschedule. No,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, she sent me the nicest video where there's like tears welling up in her eyes. And so I watched that
so
10 times and it made me feel great. So, okay. You know, yeah.
I was really hoping that you would literally see like the how genuine I was being. I'm like, I can't just text him because I get it. Like, I mean, we were just talking about this before we recorded. Like, you schedule out time, like it's still your time. And then it's like the setup and like communicating with other people's schedules. Like it fucking takes time. I mean, we planned that, I think, like 4 weeks prior. And then literally I was just
no sitting, show.
I was just sitting at my table, like looking at flights and completely fucking spaced out.
Yeah.
But whatever. Yeah. I'm making up for it today. Thank God.
Yeah, don't you have nothing to worry about. I was just fucking around. I want everyone to picture me running like Tom Cruise through traffic.
Literally, I know. You literally said that. And then I was like, you know what? I deserve that guilt. I really do.
The fucking arm thing he does. I was doing that the whole way. Like, got to make it quicker, you know?
That's fucking funny. Okay. So I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit. Having a man on the show, heterosexual man, I'm assuming, right?
Correct.
Okay. That's what I figured, but I guess I should have probably asked before I just threw it out there. I haven't had a lot of them. And so because I'm in a relationship, I know you're in a relationship also, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. nice to kind of get the other perspective on some of these like relationship dating controversies, if you will.
I love that.
Yeah. So I wanted to start basically just right in that, like the most basic level as far as like beginning to date someone. I think the biggest one that people will generally first think of is like paying for the first date. So like as a man, like what, like how do you feel about paying for the first date?
I mean, as a man, right? Like I'm probably paying for the first three or four, right? And then once we get into a thing where it's a regular thing, then you got to have what I like to call like the conversation, right? And especially if it becomes a relationship thing, I think that if you're a man, you should want to pay for the first half a dozen, whatever it is, right? But I also think that at a certain point when it's obvious there's interest there, right? That I think you need to have, and you're going to hate this answer, but I feel like you need to have like the, I can already feel you like,
waiting, I'm like cringing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like sharpening her fucking daggers and shit. I think at some point, okay. Mm-hmm. I think at some point you need to have like meals and drinks, right? Are like a 50-50 thing, one on, one off. We're not putting two cards down every time we go, but I think you take turns, and I think, you know, a partner should want to do that. I'm not one of these guys that's like, hey, I'll pay for everything. Cool, you know, like it's not me. But at the same time, like, you know, I think you're obliged as a man just because you are. I don't know what fucking reason I have to pay for the first fucking 6 to 8. You know.
So, okay, talk to me a little bit about this conversation. Like, you guys are, it will set the scene. Like, you've been going on 3-4 dates, and you can tell, like, there's definitely an attraction, and you guys are talking about, you know, continuously spending time together, texting all the time. Like, how do you start this conversation, or how have you in the past?
Well, that's really interesting, Tatum, because I feel that you guys pull this thing where you pull the card out and you put it down like when the waiter's nowhere near, and you just hope that we say, no, put that away. Right. And so I will be like, are you sure you want to pay? Oh yeah, of course. I'm like,
and then you let her pay.
Are you sure? Well, if we're past the first 4 or 5 dates, the number keeps changing as I keep going on. But, if we're in that zone where I'm like, okay, I paid for, you know, 4 dates or whatever. You sure? Yeah, I definitely want to. Well, and then I'll be like, well, when we go to the bar after this, like I'll get drinks, you know? Okay. But like to me, that's the first piece of the conversation is I'll let that card run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'll let
like
that
you
fucker.
Offered.
Yeah.
I feel like that's fair. See, I think like I've never done that.
That's so tracks. That's fucking so tracks. You've never done that.
No.
Never.
No. I don't put my card down.
She doesn't buy Christmas presents. You said on the Christmas special, like, Joe, I have to buy a fucking, you're mad if I don't get you a gift? Like, well, come on.
Okay, I mean, listen, I'm a thoughtful ass bitch, okay? I'm a great gift giver, and my presents go hard, I swear.
Yeah, but you want to tell them what your gift usually is with the dollar store camera and all that?
Okay, that was for a fuckboy. That's where, okay, I was thinking about our the episode we did, and I was like, I think I was confused on the question in the part of the episode that I was answering, because I was answering from, like, the situation of being like in a situationship or like casually dating someone.
Sure.
So I think there was like a little disconnect there.
Well, but you were talking about rose petals and you were like, I have a partner. I'll like draw a bath and, you know, fly canaries around the room or whatever you said. It's just like fucking this elaborate thing with rose petals and shit. And I'm like, okay. And then you're like, so if we're dating, like you want a gift? And like, I'm like, yeah. And you're like, oh, I just thought every guy just wanted to like bust a nut at the end of the night. And that's the gift. I'm like, no, like what?
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, different strokes for different folks. I mean,
I was like, if my girlfriend got me a fucking hand job for Christmas, I'd be like, whoa, don't open anything under that tree. It's all going back. Oh, okay. Jesus.
Yeah, that's really funny. Now you make me feel like I need to like clarify my gifts I'm given for Christmas, because I've had great fucking gifts, but you're not wrong. They all have to do with sex. Because,
well, that's fine.
Yeah, but they've been more than just, you know, getting naked and getting freaky. Like, it's like an elaborate thing.
Like, like anal or something? Like what?
Well, I think like first Christmas I did a photo shoot, mm-hmm. and it was like very like lingerie, very sexy. And then as a part of the photo shoot, I printed them out and I created this, I did an album and I put all of them in the album. And then in there, like each page, I put like almost like a note. And as you like opened it, it said like, you know, it said my man's last name. It was like titled to him, like Mr., you know, and mm-hmm. then throughout there, it said like sexy, naughty things as the pictures progressively got, you know, sexier and sexier. And then with that came in like this, like sex box, if you will. And in there were like props that I used like for the shoot, and then other like fun toys and things, and then like wrapped all of that up. And I think that was like the first gift.
So you bought yourself a modeling photo shoot
for my man.
But also, like, do you have all these great pictures of you now? Like, so yeah. It kind of goes both ways.
But, it's okay. A win-win.
Oh, my God. From the girl who... I've never put my card down ever. Okay, but let me ask you something. Okay, did you buy him something? Because I love that. I love the sex shit, because I mm-hmm. do. Like, my stuff is, like, I'll buy her, like... a bunch of sex toys and fucking whatever, but I'll also buy her like a Nespresso or something, like a machine. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? There's always like some little things like that. So I think I've done like, I'll pick up on things like over time that I've like heard him say like, oh, this would be fun, or I've been thinking about getting this, but it's not something that it's like he's jumping at. Also like within my budget too, because the financial bracket between my boyfriend and I is huge. And you know, it's like, I can only do what I can do. So I feel like, especially like the gifts that I give have to be like more thoughtful, like thought out planned gifts that can also contribute into like a fun activity or something like that.
No, sure.
So yeah, I've gotten like other things. Like, I think he wanted like a panini maker. So like I got him a panini maker, you know, like little things like that, but a lot, or like, I've done vacations. I mean, last vacations,
yeah,
you know?
That's giant. I mean, and if all else fails, just do another photo shoot, like in the nude, like making a panini.
You're a dick.
From your favorite baker, baby.
Oh my God. I did a whole calendar for him.
Yeah. 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 I think that's great.
Yeah, it was fun. I thought it was fun. Whatever. Mm-hmm. He liked it, so.
No, I'm not trashing your gifts.
You're being judgy, but that's
No, I'm not. I'm not being judgy. I'm not. I swear I'm not. I'm just giving you a hard time because it's fun.
I know. Yeah. I know. It's fun.
And it always it always leads to good conversation. Okay, so I'll bring us back so you don't have to work as hard, okay? So
love that.
When when the card, you know, goes down and I don't reject the idea and I check three times, are you sure, you're sure, you're sure?
Yeah.
And she pays for dinner. Then usually we're going to a bar next. Cocktails are on me because it's like the one-on, one-off thing, right?
Yeah.
And I'll buy the whole, doesn't matter. We drink $10, we drink $1,000. I'm paying for that. And so while you're sitting there having those cocktails, that usually opens between her being in shock that she paid for the first time and the alcohol, you can usually have a conversation and like usually comes up like, well, usually like when I'm serious about someone and it gets progressively getting serious, I usually just go like one on, one off. Like, I don't think we need to split anything on whatever, but like,
yeah,
this is my turn. This is your turn. And you know, that's never failed me. I mean, some women obviously don't like that. So,
I don't think I've heard of people doing this. Like I've heard of girls like offering to see like what a guy would do, but I've also heard that the reason, or if they like offer to pay, it's because they're not actually interested in the guy. So it's almost like this like guilt trippy thing where they feel validated for paying because they're like, now I don't owe you anything and I'm never going to talk to you again.
Yeah. Or maybe it's like a fucking test, right? Where they're like, if he allows me to pay, he's fucking out. Right. And then, so I could see that. But for me, I'm looking for a partner. Like I don't want a fucking girlfriend, right? Like I want to have such a good, busy, great, fun life. Then I want the person to come in and add to that life. And I want to add back to theirs. And so I want to then, you know, build something with this person, you know, do cross content or help her with whatever stuff. And like, I'm interested in investing in her and then her investing in me and us like building something together. And like, you can't have a fucking partner if you're always paying for stuff one way or the other. It's like, to me, I'm not interested in that. So like, I just want someone who would want to pay after, you know, I would want to take turns, would want to whatever. And like, that doesn't mean that we're not at the grocery store and she's sitting there with all her like crackers and like vegan cheeses and shit. And I'm just like, you know, I'll grab that and whatever. And like, I buy stuff because I want to. Right. And so, yeah.
Yeah. You're talking more of like just equally contributing to the relationship because you don't want to like, I get what you mean. I think like when I have to think back when I was dating, because I feel like it was so long ago, but I feel like the reason why I would never pay for dates is because it would only ever be one or two dates. I don't think I ever got to the point where it was like, I like this person, because I was just kind of like serial dating. It was just, it was a lot and it never really led anywhere either.
That's really depressing. But I get it, because there are some fucking fools out there. And the pool on both sides, I think, is just not that great. And it does take resilience and like consistency. I mean, dating is a fucking job if you're being honest.
No, literally. And I think it's crazy because, I mean, I was like in my early 20s. So I was like so young when I was like doing that in serial dating. And I'm not going to say it sucks, because it doesn't suck. Like I'm happy that I'm not having to like go through all of that. But I so wish I knew what I knew now when I was doing it then, you know, because it would be so much more effective in so many ways than obviously I'm like, everything's good. So I'm not having to like go back down that road, but, I feel like
the fucking panini machine breaks. Yeah.
I would fucking kill that shit now. I don't know. It's just weird. It's the whole concept is very strange. And I feel like doing this show and listening to like other similar shows has like actually taught me so much more about like relationships and dating and, you know, efficiency, I guess, with the whole thing.
I would have to like completely agree. First of all, hosting a sex and relationship show where there like are barely any boundaries has taught me so much, like about myself, about the world, about life, about dating. about women, about men, about everything. It's about sex, obviously.
Yeah.
And also too, like, I do think that's why shows like, you know, yours and mine and some of the other bigger shows, yes, it's entertainment, but people do gravitate to shows like that because they want to hear from the person who's a dating coach and, you know, is fucking has Bumble hacks and like what or whatever, because it right. is a jungle out there. And I'm not saying like dating sucks, everything sucks, there's everyone, that's not fucking, if you hear somebody say like the dudes in my town are just terrible, men suck, if you hear a dude say like all women are bitches and yeah. gold diggers, like that just that person does not not
there's
at
no
all
self-awareness in that in yeah. that person.
Yeah, because the gold is there. You just have to fucking dig for it. And it is a process. But on my show, on your show, you know, we dive into how you can get there quicker. What kind of tips, you know.
Right.
A fucking dating profile overhaul will change your shit like that. And I've had a couple people on the show that are like, hey, imagine if you just took that out of there and put this in there. It's like, I'm like, oh my God, you know. So the people... I've gotten a lot of feedback from stuff like that too, which is nice.
What was something that when you started the show that you learned that kind of shocked you about like sex or women or this like podcasting journey?
I would say the amount of people who are ethically non-monogamous or open. Like open relationships, or like they just allow it, they just like give each other a pass every once in a while. Like,
mm-hmm.
like that is so, it's way more prevalent than you think, and no one's talking about it. So I've made yeah. it my job to talk about it. And I've talked about from every angle for a lot. And I think it's fascinating because, you know, a lot of these people are in really healthy, otherwise committed relationships, and they either are bringing somebody in for a threesome, or, you know, they're letting their partner have like, you know, somebody once in a while, or just there are so many different prearranged sort of things, like pre-negotiated things. Some people are public, some people are still like in the closet about it. There's full-blown polyamory, there's, you know, yeah. swinging, sex clubs, like that stuff is way more prevalent than you guys could ever imagine. And I would say, like, people have messaged me and they're like, hey, my husband and I, or my boyfriend and I, like every day I get a message like that. And I'm like, oh my God. And like, these are people, you know, I've known a long time, or in some cases, right. complete strangers. And it's like, holy fuck.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. Bless you.
thank you. Yeah, I think that was a cough, but it might have been a sneeze.
Well,
I don't
whatever.
Know.
You're blessed.
I appreciate it, Tatum.
I was gonna go into it and I lost my train of thought. Oh, I think just you only know what you know, right? So it's like if you're not in that bubble, you're not hearing about those things. And like mm-hmm. one of the things I love doing is talking about the things that people aren't really talking about. And I know like it started with my clients because I do lashes also. So like I would just be all those like crazy dating times. I have like stories on stories and we're just like wilding out and like laughing in the lash room. And that's why I decided to start this, because I'm like, I talk this way with my girlfriends too. But little did I know, not everybody even having these conversations with their friends just about yeah. like random shit, even like your own personal shit, you know, like. A couple weekends ago, I talked about getting lasered, and I was really went into the anatomy part of what was going on, but I was like cackling and like cracking myself up. And I had so many people reach out to me and they're like, I relate to this so much. And literally I'm just sitting here talking about my asshole. So it's like, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, I know. And I think that's the magic. I mean, yeah. I just recorded the Valentine's Day special, and there's fucking piss content in that, and it's with me and my girlfriend, so like that'll be fun for everybody to see, you know. And so that's I would say that's a hard number two, like it is like the amount of people that are urinating on each other. So
I just like, talk I just did a recording with someone as well. I haven't released it yet, but we talked about that too, which is so wild.
It is wild.
Because it's like, it's just taboo, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So have you always been in, like, would you consider yourself a pretty kinky person? Like, have you always been in this like sex life industry?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I took one of those like high level like BDSM, like, where do you fall? Are you a fucking simp or a gimp or whatever, or whatever the fuck it's called? And it came, I don't think that's the terminology, but
a simp or a gimp. I don't know. You went a little rogue on that one, I think.
Yeah, no, but it was like how dominant, how submissive are you? And like, you know, the submissive stuff's like over here in the green, there's yellow in between, then there's just fucking red, right? For dominant. And I took that last year. And it came from a good, like someone who runs like a fucking dungeon or something, right? And so I took that. It was like all red. And I was like, I'm definitely publishing this. And so like I put it out on all my, you know, and people were like, holy fuck, you know, or whatever. But yeah, I mean, from a young age, I was always like into sex. And, you know, it goes beyond just like, hey, I'm horny, you know, because I feel like most dudes are just like, I'm just going to bang this out and like, or rub this one out and be done or whatever. And for me, I was like, I wonder what she's thinking, like truly thinking while like she's getting fucked by three guys, like in a porn or something. And so for me, it was like the psychology of sex to me turns me on more than like the physicality. I mean, they're very close, but I think for me to get off and like, you know, have pleasure, I need both. And like, for again, being dominant, there's so much to experiment with. And, you know, you got to have that conversation too. I mean, it's just always been that way from very, very early on. And I think I was in the nightlife for 15 years.
Right.
And so that, like, there was just plenty of fish, you know, and when you're successful in the industry and you're like, you know, on a stage every Saturday and on the news and on the radio and fucking whatever, like that's, it just, women just, or whatever, just, it just all comes to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So. It's easy. They kind of like flock. They're like, hey, I know you, or I heard, or I saw, or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's so interesting. I have a very rough transition.
Oh my God. You're going to hard pivot on me? You're like, we got to get away from that.
You know, this is like the one thing. I mean, it's so easy like talking with you because we just kind of like go back and forth. But
yeah.
I will say like learning to like interview people, like I feel like I don't like interviewing because I'm like, you're very good at it. You just like flow. But then I'll sit here and I have these moments where I'm like, where are you listening? Like, what are you asking next? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but the thing about having someone like me on the show is I'm going to say something fucking nuts and you just can go on that. You know what I mean? And I think that you, I think like, and you know, take my unsolicited advice and throw it in the trash if you want. But I think you should just trust yourself more because you're really good at it. We're sitting here talking on your show and it's like, if I was listening to this, and I'm not trying to like gas myself up, but I wouldn't turn this off.
You know, it's definitely fun. I'm here for
BDSM and piss content. How do you beat that? You're getting your asshole lasered. I mean, come on, people are
it is really getting a little wild. Okay, tell me more about this BDSM experience. I feel like it's a hot topic right now.
Sure. Yeah.
So how did you get into it? I know you said you were always kind of like, you figured out you were kind of like open to it, but where would you start with something like that?
I mean, I think you just have to really like look at your thoughts.
Here, wait, I'm sorry. I'm going to rephrase the question because I feel like I have a better question. Okay. If you were you're started to date someone, it's very new. You guys are like feeling intimate, you're having sex. How do you bring that up to your partner to be like, this is what I really love to do in the bedroom?
Well, I think For me, even if it's just a date where I'm like, I'm probably not going to date this person, I'm probably going to sleep with this person, though, I mm-hmm. will somehow just bring up, you know, at the right, it's not going to be like before the fucking vodka sodas get to the table or the Diet Coke or the fucking,
yeah, you're going to wait until like drink three.
The Bloomin' Onion, right? Or whatever, right?
Fucking okay, depending on. Back.
Oh God. No. you're not going to Outback. But what I mean by that is it's not gonna be like the second question on the dating app. Although it's happened sometimes. What I will do is just be very direct and be like, yeah, like you know, I'm pretty dominant, you know, in the bedroom, and like it's a spectrum for me and like whatever. But, you know, I really like to come on a woman's face. It's like always been a thing for me. Just to like float that, right? Just to see where she's, what she's going to do with it. But at the right time.
That's like your first go-to.
Usually. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Usually. And wow, is that okay? Can I explain? Explain, please. What are you thinking?
I'm just trying to picture it. I think if you're like have the energy and the banter with someone and you're just like, you can feel the connection, it's a little hot, you can tell there's sexual tension. I feel like, okay, that would be like fun, funny, well landing. Yeah. But yeah, I can just see how easily it could be like too much for someone.
Well, and I'm glad you brought this up, right? Number one, why would I be on a date with someone that I don't have sexy banter with? Number one. And number two,
yeah,
if she like pushes back hard on it, then I know. You know what I mean? Because yeah, that to me, while it's not a deal breaker, it's just something that I've always really, really been into. And I think you have to be upfront. And like, I'm not saying it like, so here's what's going to happen. It's not like that. It's like, we're at a bar, we're like whispering in each other's ears. And like,
yeah,
you know, maybe I would say it, traditionally I've said it to like a group of women, right? Because like, usually like there's friends around or like whatever. And I'll just be like, yeah, this is something I'm really into, da, 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 whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the reactions, you kind of gauge the reactions and see what's what, right? Like
there's like one that's, she's just like smiling and she's like looking at you a little harder. The other, like there's always the one that's like, oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. That's a lot. Like, you know, oh my God. God. And so, yeah, we separate that's a lot, right? But usually the one who's like, that yells, that's a lot. Like a month later, she's in your fucking text. Hey, when you said that, I, you know, and like right, some lonely heart fucking bullshit later on. But I think that you need to be just upfront with who you are and not like demanding about it. Like, you better do this or this is, we're not going to fucking Outback anymore. It's not like that. You know, it's just sort of like when the time is right.
Yeah.
And for me, like, you know, it always goes right to sex within the first fucking 7 minutes or something. So like,
I get that. I'm the same.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's just who we are. So it's, so yeah. I think you float that, right? And then generally that they will have follow-up questions, you know, how rough can I expect this or that? And then it's like, well, if you're not into that, we don't have to, like I said, none of that's a deal breaker, but you know, cum shots to the face and gag balls. I mean, you kind of want to float those things before you get in. And again,
100%.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Because you could do it the other way and you can be having sex with someone. Well, hang on.
You're like, open your mouth, bitch.
No. Oh my God. Jesus Christ.
You're like, I'm going to come.
Okay. But you could, when you are close, you can say to her like,
yeah, you can ask.
You could be like, I feel like I'm gonna come, or like, I feel like I'm gonna come, like I'm gonna fucking come, like I want to come on your face, or I want to come on you. Okay, I want to come on your face. Do it, or you know, and then there you go.
Yeah, that's true. It is a little riskier in the moment. I feel like.
Oh yeah.
Actually, maybe not riskier, maybe better for you, because I feel like anything can happen in the moment, you know? Like if you're in it, then it's like, oh, you don't, I mean, I feel like I would be like, you better not hit my fucking lashes, because
yeah.
My lash artist is a Mormon, and I just can't be explaining that shit.
Well, how'd you get all this fucking glue in here, Tatum? It smells different too.
Ew.
I just saw this fucking on another podcast. I saw the story where it was boyfriend, girlfriend. She was wasted and he like blew his load on her face. And then when she went to leave, it was like dried like all over her face. And his family was having breakfast downstairs, like his sister and like whatever.
Oh,
and she had like a
God.
Giant like dried on her forehead. And she didn't realize it until she got in the car. Yeah. So that's a thing.
That's wild.
And, you know. It is wild. Yeah, yeah. I mean, of course, but like I've had that moment where she's like, that's fine, just don't get it in my hair. Like, all right.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you
know, I think it's very bold of you. I like that, like you give the same energy in like all areas. You're like, usually we're at a bar and I go up to like a group of girls and I'm just like, yeah, so it's like
It's not okay.
I know it's not verbatim. But I'm seeing the scene, okay? Like
you go up to a group of girls. I mean, like, that's not even what I said. But I mean, yeah. 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 I don't know. I think that you have to – it's really hard to be yourself for most people. And even I hide, you know, parts of myself. But I, like, hide behind being a host. I hide behind mm-hmm. myself. But the thing is like, what I've learned is not everybody's going to like you. And – 90% of people are going to talk shit. The 90% yeah. of people that aren't talking shit aren't even talking to you, right? They're just admiring from afar. And then there's that 10% that's like, dude, you're killing it. So like mm-hmm. with those odds, I mean, we're all going up in flames here. We might as well have a good time. And I just think if you can figure out how to be more of yourself every day, I just think that it's such a fucking game changer. And so being honest is a big part of that, like knowing you're not a perfect person, all that shit.
Yeah, yeah, no, and it will save you like a lot of wasted time. That's yeah, for sure.
Well, I'm telling you, the cum shot thing weeds out, you know, whatever.
Yeah,
it reveals a lot. It doesn't really usually weed out as many as you think it does, but yeah, I think there's that. But then when it comes to like the more like dominant stuff, I think that you kind of have to ease into it. Even the relationship I'm in now, like I haven't like hooked her up to some wheel or something yet or anything like that. But like, you know, we've done everything I just mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. Like all that's been done and done a lot. But also too, like there's a lot of exploring, right? There's a lot of like, I will look up something in a porn, like a really rough porn and be like, I want to do this to you. And she'll, you know, there'll be like kind of a moment, but then that sort of grows and it, okay, cool. And whatever. And I think it takes time. I think that if you're with the right person, you know, if you're getting to like face cum, gag ball, you're spinning them upside down in a wheel, flogging, what, and within like 3 months, good for you, but it doesn't sound yeah. like there's going to be much after. So for me personally, like I like to get a couple of things kind of like so they know and then sort of, you know, just sort of take it as it comes. No pun intended.
Or pun very intended.
Yeah. Either way.
No, I think that's great. I think like easing into it also can like help make someone feel more comfortable, especially if they've never like been down that road or it's very new to them. I think like mm-hmm. starting small, you know, and kind of like working your way up to some of those bigger things. And yeah. also it's like, you really, I think like the biggest thing too, I would never want someone to just be like, oh, I want to try this. And then just like find someone that they just met or whatever, like the level of trust that has to like, that you have to have with this person, because essentially like if you're in like a submissive dom relationship, like you are giving your trust to that person, you know?
Yeah. That's the other important part is if there's no trust, there's no sex. There's no, and like you, that as a man, like that, you have to make somebody feel safe. Like you have to right. make a woman feel safe. Right. And if you don't, if she doesn't feel safe, then it's a no go. Like she has to feel safe to take cum in the eyelashes. She has to feel 1,000%.
Safe. There's a lot of other people that are going to hear about that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And also too, like, I think I've never seen a woman hornier than when she feels completely safe. Like, if
yeah,
if you're a dude listening to this and you're like, you want a freak, like, go out of your way to make your woman feel safe. If you're not, if she's not walking on the inside of the street and you're walking on the outside just in case the car skips the fucking curb and kills someone, like, you're not getting good pussy. Like, it's just not gonna happen. Like, you have to carry the fucking groceries because you want to, not because you're trying to get laid. Like, if you right. need to feel that, like, if someone on the fucking subway pulls a knife, I'm gonna jump on top of her, right? Like, you, that is how you get to, but you have to want it. And so for me, you know, I can do all the fucking whatever slapping or face cum gag ball bullshit with anybody, but it's only gonna feel like insanely good with someone who you want to, because you shouldn't want to, like, that's the thing, is like, I always say the only time I've ever wanted to control a woman is like in the bedroom with consent. Yeah. Right? I don't give a shit. Yes. About fucking who's texting you and like whatever and yes. yada yada yada. People are gonna act how they're gonna act. And you need can't to control, like,
how other people no. act anyways. So you exactly. just have to have like that trust in your partner, right? And then mm-hmm. you know, I like that. It's like yeah. I mean, it's so true. It seems so simple, I think. Like, people would think that that's simple, but it's definitely, definitely not.
No, and also, too, don't just compliment. Like, and you can fucking speak to this, like, left, right, and center. A woman can tell when you're just complimenting her to compliment her. Because, right. like when you feel, when I feel something about my partner, whether it's her ass or her hair or like something she said, like, it's like, I have to get it out. You know what I mean? It's like, I cannot stop getting it out because I truly feel that way. So I don't know. If you're not feeling like these things with someone, they ain't the one. Move on, you know?
Yeah. Okay. I had a random thought that popped in my head and I'm just curious with, you know, how you were so bold with letting women know about wanting to come on their faces. What is your like go-to pickup line? Let's say you're in person, there's a girl. What was that face? It doesn't have to be a cheesy line, but like, how would you pick someone up at the bar?
Okay. I don't do pickup lines, and I'll give you the whole thing and I'll condense it so it's not so long.
Okay.
When I was like 19, we were like using pickup lines out of the bars, and I was like, so like, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't. Right. And I was so fucking like fed up and like grossed out. It just did not feel like me. It felt like sales. It felt like door to door sales. Cause it's a numbers game when you're using pickup lines. And I'm like, hey, I need to make myself into something where they're coming to me. Right. And so, you know, having that want, having that desire, I became this like nightclub promoter. So then now every weekend I have a stage, right? And so like,
gotcha.
Whatever. And so I have never used a pickup line, right? Like, make yourself forget about women, make yourself successful and like, or like make yourself like passionate about like yourself in your work. And it will all come to you. I swear to God, I never use pickup lines, but
yeah,
I just think that, I don't know. And maybe it's just me, but even on the nights where I would go out alone here in Chicago, like, you know, mid pandemic or whatever, fucking right afterwards.
Yeah.
Whenever the masks came off, I would just like throw on a fucking outfit and just go sit at my local bar. And within 15, 20 minutes, there'd be at least two people, both women, talking to me. And that's just how I would do it.
Okay. I think, like, I guess I didn't mean, like, verbatim, like, what's the line you use? But, like, you know, like, how do you, like, you start a conversation with someone? But you're saying you don't start the conversation at all. You just find yourself in one.
Yeah, because I think...
You're like, the vibes are immaculate.
No, it's no. God. See, now I sound like a fucking douche. I don't care. Everybody, whatever. People are going to have their own opinion.
I don't think you sound like a douche because, I mean, I get it. I'm like, I think like when you, it really is like an energy exchange or like a vibe thing. It sounds so cheesy and like so LA, but it really is. Like when you're putting like good energy, positivity like into the world or like even openness, like you get it in return. Because I feel like I'm the same way. I'll just be out by myself, like at a bar or eating lunch or something. Someone will sit next to me and then all of a sudden we're like having a conversation or whatever. It's like it almost just happens naturally. It's not this like force being pulled, you know?
Exactly. Well, you have blue hair, so there's that. But I know exactly what you mean. And you have to, for me, I would never be like in the mirror, like, oh yeah, like fixing my collar, like we getting laid tonight, and like put the Durex and the fucking Magnums in my pocket and fuck all that. I think the number one thing, the first thing you need to do, right, is ditch your expectations. Go somewhere, whether alone, whether with friends, go somewhere to have a good night. Because to be honest with you, Tatum, like very honest with you, like if I don't meet anybody, I don't get a number, like I don't give a fuck, because I'm coming home, I'm jerking my own cock, I'm eating the burrito, I'm going to sleep. it's a perfect night, right? And so it doesn't matter to me, you know, and that's the first thing that needs to go. And I realize like I'm the sex podcast guy and the Axe nightclub promoter, so blah blah blah. But like I think
I love that. I was not expecting like that answer at all. And I don't really know what I was expecting, but I think it is. It's just like a genuine, it's like just like a real answer, you know, because all of this like showboaty stuff, like you're saying, like you don't have these expectations of like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to meet hot chicks and I'm going to get numbers. And those things, like when you are showing that you're having a good time, like people flock to that.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's like, and it's almost like magic. I've never, like my friends used to ask me all the time, like, oh, you're in the club business, and like they're fucking married and been off the scene forever. We go out in one night, you know, and they'd be like, oh, show us how to get girls, or we are like whatever. And I'd be like, it doesn't. I'm like, okay, step one, let's order shots, right? And so like we order shots. I'm like, okay, now what? You know, and I'm like, we're gonna have fun and ignore everybody else, right? You're allowed to look, don't wink, don't smile, just enjoy the music, be polite, right? It'll happen. And, you know, we're sitting at a table and like, you know, lo and behold, here come, I like your hat. And then there you go. Because people are somehow magnetically drawn to people who really don't care. And, I love that.
I love that point, because I think the other thing too, especially with women, like especially women at a club, like if that's what we're talking about, like you're getting attention from so many people that sometimes it's like completely overbearing. It's weird. It's creepy. You know what I mean? So then it's like, you see this table of like people just like having a good time and you walk by and they're not catcalling you or grabbing you. And then it kind of creates some of that like interest and mystery. And you're like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Like, I thought I was looking good. Why didn't he like tell me to come over there? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I can give you a fucking really toxic fucking trick if you want that one, but hang on.
Give it. Yeah.
First, before I do, I think that people care so much. Right? People worry so much about the way their life's going, what people think of them. What does everyone in this room think? Is my hair okay? Do I still have fucking lettuce in my teeth? Do these shoes stink? I should have wore the other fucking shoes. Like, they're worrying constantly. So something I think subconsciously, or maybe even consciously, is when a human being, especially a woman, sees other human beings that don't give a shit and they're just having a good time, they're like, they subconsciously, they must know something I don't. I need to know what they know. Hey, I like your hat. Right. And so like that's how that starts. Right. That's truly what I believe, because we all worry so much about what people, that was my hardest mountain to climb. But like being a nightclub promoter with like giant fucking lips like I have and whatever, people bash the shit out of me for like 15 years. All dudes, by the way, never a woman. Yeah. And, yeah. And like you had, I had to grow like a really thick skin, and now I'm a fucking sex, I'm a white heterosexual sex podcaster with big lips. I mean, come on. Like you should see my DMs are all death threats basically. Right. And like, and the thing is, it's like everybody, if they could just get 10, 5%, whatever, of not giving a shit what other people think, those people who are in the bar, those people that are like, that hurt you in your past, they're not going to sleep thinking about you. They're going to sleep worried about their shitty life. And that should free, that should make you free, right?
I love that. I love that so much, because it is, before the toxic trait tip, it is so true that like exactly what you just said, I just can't stress that enough, you know? Like people are only thinking about themselves. So even like you're thinking about yourself because like the dress doesn't fit, or you ate too much, or you're bloated or whatever. But like everybody else is just thinking about themselves too. Like nobody actually gives a shit about what you're thinking about, because they're not holding those expectations over you. Are you like a motivational speaker too?
I am definitely not, but like people have asked me like, hey, would you do a piece of content or whatever? And maybe I will and whatever, but no, I would do it. I would do it my way, you know? And the thing also too, I think it's Madonna, right? She's like, hey, listen, if people aren't talking shit about you, you're not doing something right. Like if people are not fucking have group chats where they're like sending photos and making fun of your shit, congratulations, right? Those people who comment on your shit, you know, you suck, or like, what happened to your face? Or like, you know, whatever. Those people are choosing, instead of bettering themselves, they're choosing to take that 37 seconds and that emotional energy and drop it in your comments. And I have like, you know, gotten a lot of them since I started the show. And to me, like, I almost get high off of dudes like trying to take me down, or like religious fucking psychos. Like that shit like makes me feel almost as good as a compliment. And so I think, you know, Madonna was right about a lot of things, and that being paramount. Like if you're not making waves and upsetting people, you're not doing a good job. And so that should be the true barometer.
Hit us okay. with the toxic trick, the manipulative man trick.
So I just won the audience over, and now they're all going to hate me again. Great. Okay. So again, I'm going to preface this with, this is corrosive. This is toxic. And you should only use this if you know that this is corrosive and this is toxic. The trick is, right, and that was my warning. You'd stamp a warning over it, right?
Also, you can, if you see this happening, you can use this for your own knowledge.
Exactly. You can reverse and boom. Yeah. Okay. So find the absolute hottest girl in the bar. Okay. The top of the top. I could never, whatever. And walk up to her as if you are going to hit on her and say, hey, can I talk to you for a second? And she'll roll her eyes and like, what do you want, or whatever. The trick is that she has to be with a group of girls. Okay. Find the least attractive. And I'm saying that subjectively, so whatever that means to you, because we're all beautiful, whatever, yada yada. This is toxic. Okay.
You don't have to clarify.
Okay, so thank you. I'm teaching you all fucking spy trade. So find the least attractive one of the group and say to the hot one, I think your friend is really hot. Could you introduce me to her? Okay. The girl who's been hit on for her whole life, up and down, left, right, and sideways, she'll probably make that introduction, but she will start to slowly go into a what's wrong with me spiral, like you pointed out earlier. Gotcha. And after the drinks start flowing and you're talking up the girl and your friends come over and talk up her friends and she is left out, that hot girl that you thought you couldn't get will be going down on you in the backseat of whoever's car and ruining her friendship because she needs to prove to herself that she still has what it takes, right?
The hottest, done.
Yeah, well, okay, this is a nightlife thing. The loudest guy in the bar is always the weakest guy in the bar. And that goes for politics, that goes for wherever the bar is. The loudest guy is the weakest guy. The most attractive woman in a bar, like the over the top hottest girl in a bar, is the most insecure. So if that's your goal, there you go.
You got it. Secret to the trade.
Yeah. We love it.
What a great place to put a pin in it. We're gonna leave that combo right there.
You gotta get this guy out of here.
No. I love it. You have me thinking for a whole other episode. You got the tables turning a little bit. Okay. Before you go, we're gonna end it with like a little game. It's kind of like a random mashup of like would you rather, rapid fire, and whatever, just like a couple little things. Okay.
Twister. Okay.
Yeah. You don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know what's going to happen.
Well.
Really quick, before I go into it, do you know anytime I've done this, people seem a little confused by it. So there was like that trend. It was like trending probably like a year or so ago where people were like saying like, he's a 10, but he lives with his parents. And then you're supposed to re-rate like what you think would actually be. Okay. So I have one in there.
Okay.
First one. Hot sex once a week or mediocre sex every day?
God damn. probably mediocre every day.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you feel like you gotta have it.
Yeah, I mean, I could go every other day, but you said once a week, so yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, biggest turn off.
Arrogance.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, she's a 10, but she doesn't give oral.
This is tough.
That was a big
sign. Well, the thing is you know why it's tough is because, oh, Jesus Christ, I really fucking bit one off here. The reason it's tough is I've only had really good head from like three people. And so, you know what I mean?
So it's almost like it depends on the person, because if it's not working out with that person, then you may feel like you don't need it as much. Is that where you're thinking?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Right. Like my partner now is a gangster at it. It's like fucking scary. Right. But some people weren't as good. So we didn't really do it that much or whatever. So I would say she's a 10, but she doesn't give. I mean, it's like a flat out denial. I'm not doing that.
It's whatever.
Five.
Whatever.
You know, and the reason I was going to say 7, but I'm like, oh, she's like, no, I'm not doing that. 5.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Something that turns you on that isn't sexual.
Sushi.
That fucking spicy tuna, man.
Oh, dude. You have no idea. I'm like, let's fucking, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That was funny. Okay. An honest situationship or a dishonest relationship?
Oh, what? This is a question? The situationship all fucking day. Honesty is fucking everything.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I love it. Thank you so much for joining me again, because I missed the first one. So thanks.
Hey, I got some extra exercise. We're trying to tighten up for summer anyway. So yeah, there you go.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm glad to fucking, you know, I'll run through traffic any day of the week. I was trying to not be late for you.
No, I know. That's why I felt so bad. I know. That's why I sent the video. Anyways, so why don't you plug your stuff for everybody one more time? Tell them where they can find you so they can listen and see more of your content.
Yeah, thank you. You can find Sex Party with Dustin Ribka everywhere you find podcasts, plus YouTube. On YouTube, it's at Sex Party FM. On Instagram, it's at sexparty.fm. Mm-hmm. I'm at Dustin Rybka, DustinRyb, as in boy, not the BKA. And I respond to DMs and all that. So, and I love the feedback. And new episodes every single Wednesday forever. So
amazing. Thank you so much, Dustin, for coming on Girl Stop Talking. It was so much fun.
Yeah, no, my pleasure. I love your show. So I'm fucking honored that I'm a guest. So that's amazing.
Oh my God, you're really just gassing me up. Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay, everybody. We'll see you next Monday. Bye. Awesome.
Girl, stop talking.